seems my time always comes before I'm ready. And they have to remind me. It used to be, I remember at Gethsemane, I'd be talking to people, and it was time for the service to start, and the head usher would come and get me and take me by the hand and say, it's time to start the service. Anyway, I'm glad to be here. I know you're glad to be here. It seems for some reason we don't have quite as many today, but maybe they're still on their way here. But when they arrive, we trust they will feel as welcome as all of you do, and as I do, being a part of University United Methodist Church. Let's see, what is here? I better look at this. It says, introduce myself. Okay, I'm Dean Moyer. Here. Show the brochure. And there's the brochure for newcomers, and it will tell you a lot about our church. And there's a lavender slip inside the bulletin that you can fill in with your name, address, and anything else you would like to check there. If you have a prayer request, you can fill that in and turn it in when they collect them for prayer requests. Otherwise, you can put it in the offering plate. Restrooms through both doors, both ends of the building. Rocking chairs for those who need them, either for themselves or if you have, I'm looking for small children. And we didn't have them at breakfast today, and it seems there aren't too many now, but there's some. And then opportunities for I have a note here to read. We welcome to the worship team Jules Colantonio. Did I get it all right? Great. Who is now the video tech on the first and third Sundays. She's a student at ESF, and I guess she's up there. All right. There she is, waving her hand. All right. Welcome. We welcome Stephen Shepherd, who's a grad student. He's been coming here. He's not new here, but he's going to be running visuals the first and third Sundays. It's great to be getting new people and younger people involved, and I am coming to the impression that if it weren't for old people like me, our average age would definitely be going down because we are seeming to attract more younger persons. Now, before I forget things, next Sunday's Pledge Card Sunday, right? So you'll be getting something more in the mail, correct? All Saints Sunday's coming up. There's an insert in the bulletin for you to fill out if there's someone that you would like to have remembered. Let me flip this. Church conference is on November the 9th at Bellevue Heights United Methodist Church. There'll be some time when we're together with all the other churches and some time when we're split up with our own individual congregations. So plan to be there for that. And Joyce now has something she would like to share with you.
Good morning. For those of you who are regular members here or have attended for a while, you know about our Thanksgiving bag program every year at Thanksgiving. We share our bounty with people in the community here, and this year we are thinking that we're going to need to share our bounty with probably 150 families. And we provide all the makings for Thanksgiving meal that they can prepare at their home. We began registration this past Friday, and it will continue for a few more weeks. If anyone here today is interested in receiving a Thanksgiving bag with all the makings for a meal, because you think that would be helpful for you and your family, please see me after the service. I just want to share with people briefly what the cost of a Thanksgiving bag for a family of four is. It's about $28 for a family of four, to feed a family of four, and that's with the good prices we get on turkeys, frozen turkeys, around Thanksgiving time. And most people know the ingredients of those Thanksgiving bags. It's a turkey, it's stuffing, it's mashed potatoes and gravy and vegetables and fruit, a roasting pan, because so many families don't necessarily have that. So please consider making a financial donation or bringing in canned goods that might be able to go into the bags, and put those financial donations in the offering plate marked Thanksgiving bags, or see me after the service. Thank you very much.
Joyce, you forgot to mention one thing that's in every one of those baskets.
What?
A lot of love.
Oh, it is.
Yes. Nelson, do you have an announcement this morning? Yeah, okay, I misunderstood that. So I guess, glad you're here, and we'll continue with our service.
Welcome, everyone. Great to see all of you. I'm honored to say that I am the pastor here. I'm Alicia Wood, and I extend a warm welcome to all of you. The mission of University United Methodist Church is to be the hands and spirit of Jesus Christ, transforming our neighborhood, our world, and ourselves. The theme of our worship series and the stewardship campaign, Feed God's People, Body, Mind, and Spirit, is in fact our church's vision statement. And I'm going to quiz you at the end of this and ask you, what is the church's vision statement, okay? Not the end of today, but in a couple of weeks. So, the church's vision statement, feed God's people, body, mind, and spirit. The key foundational verse for our understanding of our mission and vision, feed my sheep, taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 17. If you would like to read the complete plan of ministry in action, I have it right here in my hand, you can pick up a copy in the gathering room, which is behind here, after worship and while we have some snacks. Each week of this series, as we think about committing ourselves to the vision through our gifts, our presence, and our service, we will focus on one of our four goals we have established to support our mission. So we're on week three and our third goal. So our third goal is for University Church to become a community of learners. I really like this image. It doesn't say a community with learners, which would mean there are some learners among us. It says community of learners, which means we are all learners. We learn about our faith tradition during worship, in our personal study and practice, in our Bible studies and our book studies, in hot topics and soup and sermon, which are discussion groups, and other Sunday school classes. In the United Methodist Church, faith and belief are not a fixed set of rules to memorize. We are challenged individually and collectively to make our faith decisions by considering four perspectives: the Word of God as is expressed in the Bible, the tradition of our historic Christian church, our own experience of God's love and grace in our lives, and our reasoning, our own brain power. So we are an active part of the faith tradition. As we learn about and live out our faith tradition, we are writing the faith tradition of the future that will continue to exist because, as a community of learners, we learn it and then we carry it forward. So today, as we get started, let's dream of a church and start singing while seated, I Dream of a Church.
Good morning. As you know, my name is Joyce Flynn, and I am the liturgist today. So welcome to all. Our call to worship this morning is from the Church of the Seekers in Washington, D.C. Please stand as you are able and join me in this morning's call to worship. Holy fountain of constant creativity, the world around us struggles to maintain the past, even as you call us to wake up to new beginnings. Holy Jesus, you came among us as flesh and blood, transforming old ways into new life. Holy Spirit, you stir our hearts with surprising new understandings. We come together today to celebrate that you have called us into your family of tradition and transformation. Amen. Now please remain standing and join in singing Come and Find the Quiet Center displayed on the screen. Let us now greet one another, old friends and friends to be, by shaking hands or maybe with a fist bump, saying good morning or peace be with you. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with your neighbors now.
Good morning again. Would the children please come forward? And as they do, let's sing them in. Let's sing them up. Come on up. Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to see all of you here, and you all can come this way so we can be together. Come on this way. And Miss Anne is going to have a talk with us again. So can you all come down a little bit so we can all be together and answer and listen? All right, Miss Anne.
Wow, this is great. Well, this morning we want to talk about friends. Do any of you have friends? How many friends do you have, Stella?
I have five friends.
You have five friends. Wow. How about you, Eric? How many friends do you have?
Two.
I bet you guys have more friends. How many do you have?
Four.
Wow. Okay, we're going to talk about making friends. How do we make friends? What's one thing we talked about in Sunday school? How do we make friends?
Play with them.
Lay with them, yes. Somebody shared something. Oh, I said the word. What did you say in Sunday school?
A
sharing your toys? What about if somebody's sitting by themselves in the cafeteria? What would you do?
Sit next to them.
Very good. Well, who is our biggest friend?
God and Jesus.
God and Jesus. That's right. When Jesus was around and he was preaching, do you think that that the adults wanted the kids to be around him? What do you think? We didn't talk about this earlier. Do you think he did? They did?
No.
No. People thought Jesus was very important, and so he could just not be bothered with all of these children. But Jesus said, let the children come to me. So let's have a little prayer, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for being with us, and thank you for these children and having them be a part of our life and part of this congregation and to learn more and more about you. Amen.
You all can go back with whoever brought you, and what a delight. We have a choir in the piano loft this morning. Amen. What a beautiful addition to have our guest clarinetist here, right? Beautiful. Thank you. So if you would like your prayer read as a part of our worship today, please fill out that purple slip and the ushers will come down the aisle to collect them. And as they're collected, let's sing together.
Now let us join together in a time of prayer as we pray silently, followed by a short spoken prayer, and then the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or language that you feel closest to God. Creator God, who blesses us with so much, we thank you for your unwavering love and for your beautiful earth that provides us with everything we need. We are comforted by the hope that knowing you brings to us, and also by the peace that we feel when we live as you would have us live. Please forgive us for times when we have strayed from your teachings and have not cared for the least among us, or have forgotten the importance of treating your earth with reverence. We ask that you be with us as we work in community to help those in need both here and in faraway places. Help us to work unceasingly for peace and justice in your world, and invigorate us all in our efforts to feed all God's people, body, mind, and spirit. And now we pray together the prayer Jesus taught us. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is Just a Little Walk with Jesus. Amy will take a minute to introduce this new song to us.
Good morning. This is a new piece, so we're going to teach this to you a little bit before we begin it so that you can all feel comfortable singing along with us. It's a great piece. We think you'll love it. I'm going to sing the first verse, and then you'll see me go like this when I'm singing, and like this when I'd like you to echo me and repeat what I just sang. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry. Now we're going to try the whole piece, and please notice that the basses, you'll see they're coming in and singing a few words before we sing all the time. So if we have some basses out there or baritones that want to join the basses, have fun and lead us in.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven turned my
Our scripture this morning is from the book of Proverbs. Verses are from chapters 1, 2, and 3. Proverbs is a part of the wisdom literature in the Bible, and wisdom in many traditions is understood as a female companion to God helping humans understand what it means to live out their purpose. I am reading from the Inclusive Bible. Dennis will lead us into our sung response to the scripture as we respond and commit to make it so. From Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. Wisdom cries out in the streets. She raises her voice in the malls. She cries out from the top of the walls, on the roads leading into the city. How much longer, you ignorant people, will you love being ignorant? How much longer, you mockers, will you keep mocking? How much longer will fools sneer at understanding? And from chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge delights you, good judgment will protect you and understanding will guard you. And from chapter 3, verses 13 to 14 and 18, happy are you when you find wisdom, when you develop discernment, for she is more profitable than silver and brings yields greater than gold. She is a tree of life for those who embrace her, and all who hold fast to her find happiness.
I'm a late addition to the worship service this morning. I had a call this week from a friend in Manhattan, a non-United Methodist. Thank you, Stard. And he said, did you see the full-page ad in the New York Times by the United Methodists? And I said, no. He said, it was something about relief. And I said, was it the United Methodist Committee on Relief? And he said, yeah, that's it. And he said it was really a well-written ad, and they were asking for contributions to Puerto Rico. But the best part of the ad was it said that the United Methodists cover the administrative expense and that every dollar that you contribute would go to Puerto Rico. Now, in your bulletin, you've got a little green folder. Would you take that out? This is the ministry shares. This is where our money goes to help support the administrative cost of relief agency. And it allows others, non-United Methodists, to contribute to us in our ministry to Puerto Rico. So take a look at this. We contribute from our church budget each year about $67,000 to the causes which are listed here in your little green folder. Take a look and take pride in what we're doing not only here in our community, but in communities around the world. Now, we have a little video we want to show you about where our money goes.
What is church?
Is it a building?
With some pews?
A piano?
And stained glass?
Or is it something more?
2,000 years ago, the church was born.
It wasn't made up of the famous, the rich, or the powerful.
It was made up of everyday people who passionately believed in the message of Jesus.
It was the beginning of a revolution of love and freedom that would change the world forever.
In 369 AD, the church built the first hospital
as a place to care for those who cannot care for themselves. Today, the church is the largest single provider of healthcare in history.
The church was the first to stand up for the rights of children, creating the first and largest orphanage system in the world.
100 out of the first 110 universities in America
were founded as Christian institutions.
Places like Harvard,
Dartmouth,
Yale,
and Princeton.
Much of the world's greatest art, architecture,
literature,
and music has been shaped by the church.
But the impact of the church isn't just ancient history.
Today, the church is stronger than ever
and continues to impact every corner of the world.
Over 300,000 churches in America
and almost 5 million churches around the world stand ready to be instruments of change, to do what governments could never do.
Every day, the church brings food and fresh water to millions of people across the world.
It has a renewed passion to help widows and orphans
and fights to free slaves in every part of the world.
It stands ready as a first responder on the scene to provide relief for victims of disaster.
The ripple of Jesus' impact can be clearly seen and felt in the church today.
And it's made up of people like me and you.
Today, you didn't just come to a building.
You came to a revolution 2,000 years in the making.
The world is facing as much trouble as ever.
But we are not afraid. We were created for such a time as this.
We will continue to do what we've always done.
Proclaim the message of Jesus
to help a world that needs him so desperately.
Welcome.
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 Welcome to church.
Well, that's not what I expected to show you. But it was still good. And so, how many of you know what the word endowment means? Yeah. Well, we think of endowment as a fund, as money. But it's really much more than that. It's the love that members of our congregation have given to us through wills and bequests. It really ought to be renamed the Love Fund, because that's what it represents. And a part of our budget, how much do you think our annual budget might be? Any thoughts? Well, we project an annual budget next year of $502,000. And the vast majority of that goes to ministry and the things that you just saw on the screen. Part of it goes to maintaining the building. You know, we've got an old building, and it takes a lot of resources to keep it operating and functioning, and the systems are old in it and all of that. So we've got a deficit of about $141,000 in our $500,000 budget next year. However, that love money that was given to us by members preceding us is going to take care of a large part of that. And then we have some reserves which will help a little bit too. But we want to reduce that amount that we have to give. So I wanted you to take the second thing out of your bulletin. It's this little yellow card. Now, last year, several members contributed and created a matching fund of about $7,000. And that matching fund allowed us to match new pledges and to match increased giving by members of the congregation. And what happened was $42,000 in new money. So this year, we're inviting anyone in the congregation to help us on the matching fund. And you'll be getting a letter this week, which will outline our plans and give you an opportunity to make a pledge to University United Methodist Church. Now, I believe that God is counting on us to be here and to stay in ministry and to be in ministry. So as you consider what you can do, consider making a one-time gift for the matching fund, and consider increasing your pledge, and if you haven't pledged, make a pledge, and that pledge will be matched by the matching fund. So God's counting on University Church to be here, to be in ministry, to witness, to be who we are, and those who have given in the past are counting on us too to continue their ministry and to be disciples for Christ.
Thank you, Nelson. So each week we've been coming up here and having a conversation, and our conversations are about our four goals. Come on up, I'm going to have you sit over there. Are about our four goals And our four goals have a lot to do with relationships with people, right? And so today, we're talking about being community of being a community of learners. Last week, we talked about outreach. And who here was surprised at how much this church does? Yeah, a lot of people were, we do a lot. How many people learned something new about what we do? Yeah, a lot of people learned something new. Now, the week before that, the first week of our campaign and our series here, we talked about worship and how we connect with folks in worship and how we connect with God in worship. And so today, I have Ann Owens here, and she is, I have questions for her, just like I've had for others. And she is actually our spirit chair on the governing board, but today she's talking about learning, and somehow spirit and mind and learning seem to intermix. So, Ann, thanks for talking today. I'm curious, what influences in your life led you to a call of teaching or Christian education?
Well, I didn't have to think very hard for this. Children.
Yeah.
It's the number one influence that comes to my mind. When I was 16, I belonged to a little, real little church up north, and we did not have enough Sunday school teachers. We had lots of children, but not enough Sunday school teachers, so I was asked to be a Sunday school teacher, and I had 6 7-year-olds in a corner of the church, no curriculum, and one of them was my little brother, who was a pest. Anyway, it was a very wonderful learning experience, and I just took the Bible, which we didn't have children's Bibles, but I took the Bible, and I taught them each week a Bible lesson. And that they had to tell me what it meant, and then they had to remember it the next week. And they taught me a lot. Mm. But this also led me to continuing teaching. So when I came to Syracuse and walked up the street to find James Street United Methodist Church, I was very lucky there, continued teaching, and then it has brought me to this church. And I taught Bible studies and been to many Bible studies, women's retreats, and I just keep learning and learning myself.
So what is one specific thing that you learned from someone you thought you were teaching?
How to listen. Many times when I've spent quite a bit of time preparing for a Sunday school lesson for 5 and 6-year-olds, I had to remember to stop talking and to listen to them. Recently, I was asking my Sunday school class, a group of 4 to 6-year-olds, if they could see God. And I wasn't sure what their answers were going to be. And one little boy said, he doesn't say too much, but he goes, well, no, not really, but you can feel him in your heart because that's where he lives. And I couldn't top that. That was not in my Sunday school lesson.
So what is going well here at University United Methodist Church in regard to being a community of learners?
Well, God never ceases to amaze me. I've weathered several changes in the past few years, recently going to a new church, and God certainly has showed me where else I can serve him. The Sunday school is going well. I'm teaching again. The last ones I taught were 15 and 16, and they were 6 feet tall. So I'm really glad to have a group of children that are at least, for the moment, smaller than me. So that's been nice. Again, I've attended numerous Bible studies, and there's many different times of the week that Bible studies are held. I've led women's retreats with a whole new group of women. And I'd like to share one story that changed me. After James Street Church closed, I came to University United Methodist Church to check it out. Well, at first, I wasn't sure. It was so big and gothic, and I just wasn't sure I would like it. Well, about the third or fourth Sunday, I said hello to a little girl, and she said hi. And the next week, I said hello to her again, and she goes, you're that lady with the pretty necklace. And I said, oh, okay, you remembered. I was surprised that she would remember. About a week later, 2 weeks, I went to Vacation Bible School. I just wanted to see what it was like. I wasn't going to get involved. I just wanted to see what it was like here. And the same little girl came up to me. She grabbed my hand, and she says, "You're going to be my Sunday school teacher, right?" So I was hooked. But we have a lot of adult classes. Hot Topics is one of them that we have, book and Bible studies. And we've had guest speakers like Terry Hershey and Roving Teach-Ins are just to name a few of the things that we do well in this church.
We also have soup and sermon after worship that where we talk about whatever we talk about in church. So how can we do better?
Well, first of all, each of us needs to develop a greater and deeper sense of personal prayer so that we can hear, so that we each can hear God calling us so that we can serve Him better. You can join an adult Sunday school class at the Hot Topics or, as Alicia said, the Soup and Sermon. If you already attend an adult class or Bible study, invite someone new to join you. And one of my favorite, and I think this would be wonderful if this could happen, I had a little taste of it this morning, help organize a youth choir, because people, adults and children, learn many, many ways, many, many ways of their learning is through song. Mm-hmm.
So how can others get involved?
Well, I really ran out of time to write down this. Of many things that we can get involved with. The first one, of course, comes to Vacation Bible School. That's held every August for a week, and we invite children in the neighborhood and as many children as we can get, not just for teaching, but for they love their snacks. And even if you could bring a child to be the transportation for a child, it's always important. Again, Sunday school for both adults and children, they need our listening ears. You can read to a child during breakfast on Sunday mornings or at the pantry on Fridays. And another one that we have is through camps, conferences, and retreat centers. And that is a wonderful place to learn all kinds of different things to strengthen your faith. And then my last thing that I had was what you can do each week is to talk or greet someone new each week. Mm-hmm. So go out of your comfort zone just a little bit and meet someone new.
Yeah. And listen. I really like that you talked about listening, because we don't know how else we can be community of learners if we're not listening to each other and hearing how we can develop that. And the free little library is up there. Little free library is up there because you can bring books in, and you can bring children's books in. So those are all great. Well, thank you, Anne. Appreciate your time and telling us how we can be community of learners, how we can get involved, and we look forward to whatever we're going to talk about next week.
Okay. Thank you.
And now as we enter a time of giving, I would like to remind everyone to please place your attendance slips that look like this into the plate as our ushers come down the aisle. I'd like our first-time visitors of the church to know we do not expect a donation from you today. You are our guest. We are grateful that you are here. Yet we do have a strong tradition of giving in a variety of ways here at University Church. So as a symbol of our ministry in this place, and beyond, let us bring our tithes, donations, and offerings. Now please remain standing and join me in the unison prayer of dedication, also adapted from the Seekers Church in Washington, D.C., and displayed on the screen. O Holy One, we come today to claim our relationship with you. We pray for the commitment to grow together, sharing the gifts you give us with others here and in the wider world. Give us strength and discipline to nurture our relationship with you and to respond joyfully when you call, freely giving ourselves as you have shown the way. We open our hearts to you and your creation in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Now please remain standing and join in singing a new hymn, Praise the Source of Faith and Learning, sung to a familiar tune and displayed on the screen.
Lord, let our congregation be a witness to you, immersed in Scripture, constant in prayer, joyful in worship, generous in giving, a loving, supportive community reaching out to those in need. May it truly be so. Go now in peace to love and serve our God. Amen.